Hey, I'm Chris Cafaro.
And I'm Nick Cafaro.
We're real life brothers who play fake life brothers Reed and Easton Royal on the hit podcast, The Royals of Malibu.
On this companion podcast, we'll be doing a deep dive into each episode, giving behind the scenes insights, talking to some special guests, and maybe even having some laughs along the way.
Welcome to The Royal Boys. What up? Welcome to The Royal Boys.
We're here. We're here.
Hello, hello. This means you've just finished the finale, and you are listening to our very first episode of the Royals of Malibu re-listen podcast, The Royal Boys.
What's up, guys? Thank you for being here. We're so excited.
This is so cool. Did you ever think we'd be here, Nick?
No, I did not. I mean, physically right now, we're in your apartment.
Yeah, did you ever think you would be here in my apartment?
No, and I was actually trying to make a point of never being in your apartment.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, work got in the way of our personal feud.
So here we are.
Here we are. For those of you who don't know, you just heard it in the intro. Nick and I are real life brothers who play brothers on the Royals of Malibu. I play Reed Royal.
I play Easton Royal.
And we are here to break down every episode, give you some behind the scenes looks. Listens. Yeah. Insights.
Insights, listens. Hearables.
In ears. Insight, because an insight implies that you're seeing it, but you're not.
I don't think anybody wants to hear this.
Yeah. All right. Take care, folks.
Have a good one. No, but it's been, take us back to the beginning of this journey. I got an audition for Reed Royal. And I...
Did you get it?
I didn't get it.
Really? Who got it?
This guy named Chris Cafaro.
Sounds handsomer.
Yeah. But honestly, it's been very cool to play brothers. We're both actors in Los Angeles. We've never done that before. Since this podcast started, we've gotten a lot closer physically.
That's right.
You've moved from New York to LA.
Mm-hmm.
We are next door neighbors.
That's pretty wild. It's like a sitcom that no one wants to watch.
Yeah. We should pitch it.
Let's do it. Anyone listening who wants to film a pilot of me and Nick living together in Los Angeles, two down on their luck actor boys. Hey, speaking of brothers, it's almost your brother's birthday, and you haven't said jack shit about it.
I was going to say, it's tough because I was thinking about walking in here with a cake and singing you happy birthday, but I was afraid I might find Brooke on your lap.
Nick, that is a great transition. Oh my gosh. Also, I still want cake.
I'll bring you some.
Brooke's cake. On my lap. No, just kidding.
That's disgusting.
I know. I don't condone cheating or sleeping with your stepmom.
Or eating carbs.
But if you do condone it, have I got a website for you? Just kidding. Okay. So, Nick, what do you say we jump in and talk about season 2, episode 1, New Life, Same Bikini?
That sounds fun because that's also going to be the name of my memoir.
It is. Well, because you've been wearing the same bikini to bed every night.
Like, and no matter what life I'm living, I have the same bikini.
It's crazy.
But hey, it looks good on me.
It does. It cuts your figure nicely. But
it leaves weird tan lines.
It does. Okay. Season 2, episode 1, New Life, Same Bikini. Where'd we leave off, Nick? Remind our listeners where we left off at the end of season 1.
Well, art imitates real life. As you said, your birthday, as of today, will be tomorrow.
Yeah, as of recording, for folks at home, my birthday is tomorrow, but by the time you're listening to it, my birthday will have well passed. But if you are listening and want to post on Instagram and wish me a happy birthday, that would be so special.
It would be special, but yes, by the time you're listening, you will once again be irrelevant. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
We left on a birthday, Reed Royal's birthday.
That's right.
The last episode of season 1. Ella walks in with a cake singing happy birthday. A little flat, but it was a nice gesture.
We're not going to judge Ella's singing voice, Nick.
Okay. She has a great singing voice. Alyssa plays guitar as well. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she plays guitar. I've seen it on her socials.
That's very exciting. I don't follow her. I refuse.
He's lying.
I'm joking. I'm a big fan. I follow.
You like everything. You're the first person to like, and then you write first under all the comments.
Well, people need to know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she walked in on Reed with Brooke, and she said, you know what? I am out of town. She takes off up north on the PCH, mm-hmm. away from Malibu, away from the Royals, and that's how we open season two, talking about forgiveness. Will she ever be able to forgive the Royals? And in her mind, no.
No, she won't. But really, that's what the theme of this episode is all about, right? It's like getting over breakups, moving on, forgiving, forgetting. That's like the whole theme of this episode. And it
is comes this an up- intervention?
No, it's not.
Did you bring me here to intervene?
I'm just saying that it's time, dude. It's been 3 years. You got to get over your ex.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get out there again.
I will.
Get on Raya. Nick's single for all you listeners, so...
I'm going to sell my Lexus and move to Oakland.
Okay. You don't have to humble brag that you have a car.
That's exactly what Ella does. She sells her Lexus. She moves to Oakland.
Okay, you have a Lexus. That's great. I drive our grandfather's 2004 Toyota Avalon, and Nick drives a Lexus.
Okay.
So, when we open episode two, we literally open Ella's eyes, and she's in bed with, drumroll, Isaac. Who the F is Isaac?
He's the perfect guy.
I will kill him.
You really might.
So here's the thing about this first scene. They're very cute together. They immediately start having sex.
Yeah.
After waking up.
Unhinged behavior.
It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
Because if it were me, I'd be like, hey, morning, give me a second. I have to go Listerine my mouth for 7 minutes because I cannot even face my girlfriend in the morning until I've brushed my teeth.
I can't face your girlfriend until I brush my teeth either.
Yeah. Well, and let's keep it that way.
I agree with you. I think it's absolutely unhinged behavior. They're going at it kissing. Somebody's breath is stanking. I'm guessing it's both of them. You just got that dry bedtime mouth. Ugh. Get out of bed, brush your teeth. And this is a thing for people out there who do wake up in the bed of their significant other or maybe somebody else. Home field advantage is big.
Sure.
Being in your apartment, having your toothbrush nearby?
Yes, but there's always ways around it. First of all, you should always carry a toothbrush in your backpack or bag, wherever you're going.
Are you bringing a backpack to your hookup?
Sometimes, yeah, if I have to study. Second of all, you go to the bathroom and you do the finger thing that you did at sleepovers.
Whoa,
you
put please. Okay.
Put toothpaste on your finger and you like brush it. Or here's a little trick. If you're at someone's house in the morning and they don't have Listerine or, you know, mouthwash, you get a little bit of toothpaste, you squirt it in your mouth, you get a little water, and you just start sloshing. And it leaves a gross little film in your mouth, but...
She'll love it.
It smells good.
Yeah.
But also, some people don't. I wonder if, like, two bad breaths sort of cancel out. Like, if your breath stinks like shit and her breath stinks like shit and you start making out, if it's just like, well...
It creates a flower.
Maybe that's true love. Maybe.
As flowers grow from soil.
Yeah, fertilizer, manure.
Yeah.
Mouth manure, the flowers of love.
So anyway, Isaac has terrible breath and he's kissing over our girl Ella. She's loving it. He's calling her the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. This guy's great and it pisses me off because it makes our characters look terrible.
My character looks great.
Not at all.
Dude, my character's the freaking man. Are you kidding me? Reed Royal? He's captain of the polo team?
Oh my gosh. Reed is, first of all, the most unfunny person I've ever heard in my life.
He doesn't have a great sense of humor, but he, in this season, he lightens up. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But yeah, he doesn't lead with humor. He's brooding. He's sexy. He's tortured. He's a tortured young man. You don't know what he's been through.
Well,
you
I do.
Yeah, because
you've I read, truly do.
Yeah, you've read the scripts. My favorite part about this Isaac thing is that they met at the library.
What?
We come to discover.
That's crazy.
First of all, who goes to the library? Second of all, who's meeting people at the library?
I'm not.
Maybe that's what you need to do to...
Just go to the library?
Find someone. Go to the library. Read a freaking book for once in
your life. I do read a book, but yeah. I read it on my Kindle. I use my library a lot. I just download them straight.
Technology is destroying human connection.
Yeah, tell that to...
The people who are listening on headphones, on alone,
yes,
on their phone, on a jog. If you're
people
jogging,
jog to this?
Hey, if you're jogging...
Watch out!
Keep going. Keep going. That leads me to a question for you, Nick.
Yeah.
What is the most old school way you've ever met a date or asked someone out?
Well, I took a carriage to her father's house, and I said, I have three goats. Can I trade them for you for a date with your daughter?
Oh, you offered a dowry.
Yes. No, I mean, most old school way, I guess. It's sad to say, it's, you know, it's in person. I'm in the process of considering deleting my dating apps just because I think...
You are? Really?
I think so. I really do.
What? Yeah. Deleting them or putting them like on pause?
Putting them on pause.
Yeah, there you go. Because deleting them, I mean, you got to rebuild. It's such a pain. And then you're like, you start over in the algorithm and you start like...
There's an algorithm?
Of course there's an algorithm. Everything's an algorithm.
This isn't.
This is not an algorithm, but most things on your phone are algorithmic.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
The algorithm is gonna get you.
Okay, we're old. Yeah, no, that, how about you? What, I'd be face-to-face asking is the oldest
that is pretty
school
old
thing.
School.
And I just think that dating apps make it so accessible to you, and so it almost is like a game, and it's not real life, and it takes out the humanity of it. And so
if
I'd rather
a game, you are losing, my friend. Yeah, you have lost that game.
I'd rather lose in face to face combat.
Right. You are not on the leaderboard of that game, let me tell you. Most old school way I ever asked someone out was, well, first of all, in fifth grade,
yeah,
I had a Nana bring me to Stop and Shop to buy roses, and I left a rose in, I won't say her name, let's call her Katie. Katie's cubby to ask her out, and like during nap time or whatever, you know, playtime, I was like, hey, Katie, go look in your cubby. And she did, and she found the rose, and she screamed and started crying and ran to the bathroom, where she stayed until the nurse came and called her mother and took her home.
Wow, playing hard to get. I respect that.
Yeah. But the other way I did ask someone out once was we were at a restaurant with our family, with our parents.
Was I there?
You were not. No, you weren't invited. So we...
Damn it.
Yeah. We went to a restaurant. You were not invited. It was with our parents. And our waitress was just stunning. And I'm pretty sure she was like the owner's daughter. And she was so charming and so beautiful. And I had to run early because I had a show that night. And our parents were like... Oh, well, you should get her number. And I'm like, I'm not going to ask for a woman's number in front of my parents at a restaurant while this poor woman is at work. So what I did was the following week, I went on OpenTable.com.
Oh, no.
And I made a reservation for one at this restaurant. And then in the comments, I wrote, hey, this is not a real reservation, but... There was this waitress I was in last Saturday,
and
I thought she was super cute, and I'd love to buy her a drink. I don't know her name, but here's my number. And guess what? I never heard from her.
That does not surprise me. You know why?
Why is that?
You made so many mistakes. First of all, you're just trying to reenact that scene from Love Actually, and you failed. You should have learned Portuguese and walked in.
And walked in?
Yeah. Second of all, you said...
That's my Colin Firth impression.
That was great. It was like almost like a King speech. So that's mistake number one. Mistake number two is you said this girl's dad owns a restaurant. He probably saw the reservation and just deleted it because he was like, I'm not going to let my daughter go on a date with somebody who makes a reservation for one.
It could have been a reservation for two.
Yeah, and it wasn't. You know why?
I should have opened with that.
He
Damn
had
it!
Some reservations about you.
Oh.
So anyway, we should hang out at the library some more. Also, stop having dinners with our parents and not inviting me.
You lived across the country.
Yeah, and I could have flown there. Speaking of restaurants.
Go on.
Before Ella goes to work, Isaac brings her to get $23 burritos. They kiss again after eating the burrito.
Oh my God, maybe that's their kink. Maybe they're just stinky breath people.
He literally says, does my breath taste like Chipotle?
He says that?
He says that to her.
I didn't catch that.
And she says, yeah. And then he says, you're the boss again. She kisses him again. Oh, they just love dirtiness
just
in the mouth.
Stink mouth kink.
Yeah, halitosis hottie.
Ooh, halitosis high. Coming to the CW. Something stinks. And we're going to get to the bottom of it.
So anyway, yeah, this dude loves dirty mouths. I'm just going to continue to find the flaws in him because I'm just not happy that he's making my character look bad.
So you're Team Isaac over Team Reed because let's be honest.
No, I'm Team Reed.
Yeah, but you're implying that it's like Isaac against Easton, but in no way would they be competing because Easton does not have a shot with Ella.
You know what? This has just all become you berating me in my lack of dating success.
That's low-hanging fruit, folks.
Speaking of, Isaac really wants to define the relationship.
Maybe he should look it up in the dictionary while he's at the library. Freaking loser.
Yeah, look up relationship. The definition's right there.
Oh, God. I wonder if Isaac knows about the internet and that you don't have to go to the library.
No, you don't.
For almost anything ever.
What?
What do you have to go to the library for?
Libraries are great.
Yeah, I mean, as a public service, I agree, but like...
Sometimes you go there to like drop off a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Or
a deuce. So you don't have to do it at home. Yeah. When you have roommates.
That's a good point.
I've done that. In college, that was like the move. I lived across from the library, and if we had guests, I'd be like, I'll be right back. And go to the Gelman Library, third floor in Washington, D.C.
Legend has it, still smells.
Ah, poop joke. That's a royal flush. Oh my, stinky. On this show, we call that any poop joke a royal flush.
Because we have to hold ourselves accountable as highbrow comedians.
By the way, your brows look great.
Thanks. They're a little higher than usual.
So then we find out that Ella, although she's moved on in her life, has been keeping up with everybody through a Finsta.
Finsta. Burner account.
Do you have one?
No.
You don't? Are you lying?
No.
Dude, I won't tell anyone. Just admit it into the microphone, and I won't tell anyone, I promise.
I don't.
Okay.
Yes, I do. It's Sika Pharaoh.
No, that's me. I don't have a designated Finsta, but I do. My comedy group has an Instagram account, Uncle Function, at Uncle Function.
You do comedy?
Yeah, sometimes. And I'll just use that Instagram account too, like if there's someone I want to check in on.
Who you want to check in on?
Don't worry about it.
Should your girlfriend worry about it?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I'm not stalking people, but like, you know, sometimes you want to look at a story and you don't want it.
Yeah, sometimes you want to stalk someone.
It's not stalking. Yeah, you just want to follow someone surreptitiously and so they don't know that you're watching their every move. It's not stalking.
It is kind of stalking, but I'm going to let Ella get away with it because I think this is a brilliant way for the writers to give us exposition in a fun way, tell us what everyone's up to, get us caught up. Like Easton, for instance, having the best year of his life. That's quotes. Although, do we believe it? I don't know.
He does shout it while he's jumping out of an airplane. Yeah. So
that would not be the best thing in my life.
Would you do it? Would you?
No.
You would never skydive?
Nope.
Why not?
Because there's not enough toilet paper in the world to clean up the mess that would happen.
Why would you clean up a squished dead body on the ground with toilet paper? I don't understand.
No, I was saying I would defecate myself out of fear.
Oh my, stinky. Could you imagine being strapped to like somebody, like a professional?
Yeah.
And we're just going down in
three,
his lap.
2, 1, jump. Sorry. Oh man.
I bet you that happens though.
Yeah.
Like those guides. I would do it. I would skydive.
What? Shit on your instructor or skydive?
I would skydive.
Oh, okay.
But skydiving doesn't scare me. What scares me more than almost anything.
Commitment.
Other than commitment. Is hot air balloons.
Hot air balloons?
Hot air balloons. Those scare the shit out of me.
That's weird.
Why is that weird? Why is that weird that I don't want to be in a wicker basket made of wood attached to a fabric balloon that is being steered by nothing and controlled by fire? That's an insane thing.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz got totally blown off course in his, and what if that happened to us? Actually, also, you might have been too young, but I don't know if you remember this. When we were younger and a hot air balloon landed in our backyard.
I do remember that.
Because we lived near a school and it missed. It was supposed to land at the school and it missed and it landed in our little backyard and...
Everything caught on fire.
No, it didn't. But that was terrifying. Like to see a giant balloon just coming down in your backyard.
Yeah, at 2 miles per hour. Why is that terrifying? Grow up, dude.
Wow. Rude.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read, a podcast about the books that built our souls. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. Don't miss it. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna to Jhumpa Lahiri, Susie Essman, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they talk, they share. You can join us on Instagram for more behind-the-scenes content and giveaways at You Are What You Read podcast and at Adriana Trigiani. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Erica, one third of the podcast, Books and Betches, a comedy book podcast where we swear, spoil, and we talk about...
Whoa. You cannot say that in this.
What do you mean? That's like our slogan. It's our gimmick.
It is, but just say we're a very funny adult book podcast. How about we just give some examples of things we talk about?
Well, there's a lot of chaos.
I'm Chris in it with me, I have.
Wobbler!
No.
We talk about books, but we're not your AP Lit class.
I definitely hit on the major points.
You did. Absolutely did not.
She did.
You talked
just
about...
Just not in the order you thought she would.
You talked so slowly about one thing.
A lot of sidebar conversations.
Denying the existence of chupacabras?
You know, Erica, yes, I am.
And we don't always get the facts right.
Epilogues don't belong in books. Call it chapter one.
That's a
the
prologue.
The second I see...
That's a prologue.
Oh,
I'm talking about prologues.
You can listen to new episodes of the Books and Betches podcast every Tuesday morning, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye.
And we're back. Okay, we were talking about stalkers. Ella has a stalker.
Ella does have a stalker.
There's someone following her.
In a black car, tinted windows, at the train station since 5 a.m. Dedicated stalker.
Yeah.
He's definitely a morning person. I'm assuming he's a he. Maybe that's not fair.
Yeah, seriously, dude. Come on, whose side are you on?
I don't know.
It could be Brooke.
It could be.
Could be Dana. Dinah.
Dinah. You don't even know the show. But anyway, she has a stalker. Kind of hot? I don't know.
Having a stalker is not hot, you freak.
Okay.
Someone following you? That would be so scary, especially if they were following you in a hot air balloon.
The guy's not following her in a hot air balloon.
Can you imagine
if there was a stalker in a hot air balloon? Wait, isn't that what China did to us, basically?
That is. Just surreptitiously
there are spy
following
balloons.
You in a hot air balloon.
I mean, that you, because...
Sir, I see you. You're in a brightly colored, gigantic balloon in the sky.
Ella Sinclair.
Wait, hold on. I'm coming down. Wait,
Just wait there.
Wait 1 second.
Give me 20 more minutes.
I'll be right. Could you go?
Can you tie this rope around that tree and pull me in? so I could get a
gotcha. Close.
Yeah. but yeah, she has a stalker, which just adds to, you know, the list of crap she has to deal with. Because while she's dealing with that, she's also using this Finsta to catch up on everybody, and it's not good stuff.
No, Val's in bad shape.
Real bad shape. She's saying, you know, high school's lonely. She's depressed.
Savannah seems to be doing good. She's like a yogi now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Reed not doing so great.
Yeah, no, he's not. At first, it seems like he is because he's doing well in water polo, but that's the magic of social media.
That's true. It hides. It is the great societal mask that covers our true feelings.
But yeah, he's not doing too well, but I think Ella also is not doing too well. You know, she's doom scrolling through old pictures of them. You ever see that meme? It was like, iPhones will just go ahead and make a montage of the saddest years of your life.
That is true.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite.
It's like, hey, here's an album of you and your ex.
Oh, Tim Cook. What a jerk.
I had one of like, here's you with bread.
Who's bread?
My best friend. He's bread. So good with butter on him.
Brad Pitt? Brad Pitt does not eat bread, that's for sure. Look at those abs. Okay. Then we have my favorite part of this episode, which is the flashback with Ella's mom.
Yeah.
Who is kind of unhinged in her behavior.
Yeah.
Like, she's taking her teenage daughter on a trip with her to dump all of her ex's shit on his front lawn.
Yeah.
And she's using it as a teaching lesson to be like, this is how we deal with our problems. We throw their things on the lawn.
Also, I'm going to die very soon.
She doesn't say that.
She does say that.
She does allude to it. Yeah, she's like kind of immature. She's like, I'm gonna die and I suck at being a mom.
Yeah. And also, why would you not keep his stuff?
Yeah, or sell it.
Or burn it.
Or give it away.
I like to imagine this guy's name, I think his name was Jim. She left it all there, and unbeknownst to him, people just were shopping like as though it was a yard sale. Because all of his stuff was out there.
And he made so much money off his own stuff. Money.
Thank you, Mrs. Sinclair. Yeah, she's unhinged. Not a good mom. Not a good mom. I don't want to judge moms, but...
We don't want to judge the mom. And she is going through a very tough time. She's sick. Maybe she's not thinking straight, but...
Not a good moment.
Also, like...
You can't spell mom without moment.
It's true. I think a more powerful move would be not give his stuff back at all. Because, like, now this guy's like, oh, someone brought all my stuff back to me. That's so nice. You saved me a trip.
What a lovely gesture. Maybe we should get back together. I understand the
stuff back to him.
Yeah, I understand the need to get rid of reminders, you know? Always something there to remind me.
Do we have the rights to that song?
We do now. I just called.
They said, you own it.
Yeah. And we will give it back to them on their front lawn.
They said, we heard you sing it and we don't want anything to do with that song anymore. It is now yours.
So that's your favorite part of the episode. You know what my favorite part of the episode was? And it's for reasons you wouldn't expect.
Tell me.
The fact that Ella is a bikini barista.
Uh-huh. Yep. So I'm assuming that means you just wear a bikini and you serve coffees.
You shouldn't have to assume. They explicitly say that.
Yeah, but I like to assume.
Yeah, because it makes you better.
So why is that your least favorite part?
Not my least favorite part. I think it's very funny because I'm thinking, like, what did the health inspector say when he walked in and he just sees loose skin?
Everywhere.
Also,
I love the idea that, like, you can wear almost nothing on your body, but you do have to wear a hairnet.
And non-slip shoes.
Yeah. Just Crocs and, like, a tiny little two-piece.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked in a cafe or served coffee or anything?
Yeah.
Have you ever made espressos?
Yeah. So, you know how many hot objects are sticking out?
Yes. Steam, blowing steam, boiling hot milk,
I can't scalding think of anything water. Worse to wear than nothing.
Yeah.
It's wildly crazy. And also, there's no way they're making good coffee there. There's just no way.
It's also funny. Like, I hope the employees don't drink the coffee, which is basically just...
Also, well, like, if you
spill... Poop water.
Yeah.
You just, like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, it's a diuretic. Oh, my. Stinky.
Yeah, I have, a cup of coffee, and, like, immediately, I'm like, I want to write thank you notes to every teacher I've ever had. And then 2 seconds later, it's like, I want to go to the bathroom and never leave. So, I would not...
Would you write a thank you note to?
Every teacher I've ever had.
Every single one.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's the feel I have when my first sip of coffee. And then it's all downhill from there.
Like the energy and the excitement.
The energy in the room is electric when I have my first sip. But sugar and spice, man, what a freaking business model. And you know they're going to have some interesting fellers coming in there.
Yeah. Or like the wife at home being like, you're going to get another coffee? Let me get it. No, honey, I got it. I'll get the coffee this morning and this afternoon and this evening.
Yeah.
Okay. He's so good to me. You know, he always goes and gets coffee. And then he comes home and he's in the restroom for his 20 minutes. And then he starts yelling at me again.
Okay. Speaking of yelling, this is another stalker sighting outside of Sugar and Spice Bikini Barista Bar.
Mm-hmm.
The stalker's out there. And this time... Ella runs, and he chases after her. This actually might be my favorite part of the episode, when he just screams out her name, Ella Sinclair, four times, first and last name, mm-hmm. as though there's maybe other Ellas running through the Oakland streets away from
chasing.
Her. He's chasing her. Ella Sinclair! Ella Sinclair! It's like, bro, just shorten it up.
Ella.
Ella.
Ella. Ella. Ella. Ella. Ella.
We have the rights to that song?
We do now. Rihanna just called me. I sent it to voicemail because she knows what she did. So after the stalker runs and chases Ella down the street, we see what Reed is really up to.
Yeah, why? Because she set an alert to her phone so that she knows every time Reed goes live.
Which is, I didn't know you could do.
Okay, I'm hitting the old man alarm.
No!
Yep, yep.
Oh, you're so fucking old.
Let me explain to our listeners, old man alarm is something we are going to be using when one of us sounds like an old, out-of-touch boomer.
There's a big button right near where we're recording, and if someone sounds like they're a big old man or a big old fart or has to ask a question about something they don't understand, we press that alarm. Damn it. I was hoping I could get through that. You couldn't even get through the first episode without an old man alarm.
I know. You're just too damn old.
Have you ever gone live on Instagram or...
By accident once.
Really?
Yeah. My friend does this thing now. It's my favorite thing. Every time LeBron James goes live, he'll just comment incessantly. Because LeBron James goes live now to pick at football games, like the winners of football games every Sunday. Uh-huh. And he just comments like, LOLOL, where do you live? LOLOL, do you like me? LOLOL, what's your address? Seriously. LOLOL, do you think I'm funny? And he screenshots them all. And
that
I think it's so funny.
I've never gone live, but you know when you're on Instagram and someone goes live, like there's like a drop-down notification on your Instagram?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll think it was like so-and-so sent you a message or commented on your thing, so I'll click it,
and then you're only
in the live room, and you're the only one there.
Yeah.
And then you sort of have to like stick around, and like, oh, hey, Chris, and you're like, oh, I don't want to hear anything you have to say.
Yeah.
You know who you are, Rihanna. But he went live. Yeah. So this is when I went live, and Reed is all hammered drunk.
Yeah. I'm a failure. I fucked up. Yeah. I fucked everything up.
Let me tell you, acting drunk is really hard.
Yeah. My friend was talking about this. He said his trick is to consciously think about every single word he is saying as he's speaking them. And that will make you sound drunk. Because when you are drunk, you're trying so hard to not sound drunk.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. You know, he's never booked a job.
Let's get him on season 3. If there is one, you know what I do that helps me with drunk acting?
Get drunk before you do it?
I get hammered drunk in the green room.
Yeah.
And then the alcohol makes you act like you're drunk.
Yeah.
No, you get really cold liquids or like an ice cube, and you just like put an ice cube in your mouth for, you know, as long as you
make
can.
Your tongue go numb.
Makes your tongue go numb, and so then you have to really over enunciate.
Yes. That happened to me once. I had to give a big speech at college, and I was so nervous. I kept drinking water before it, and it was ice water, and my tongue went numb.
Oh, God.
And then it was my time to talk, and I like really had a hard time.
What was the speech for?
It was for my fraternity.
So Reed goes live. We hear him. He's drunk. He's miserable.
Do you
so
have
much
a problem
regret.
With the fact that Reed actually wasn't the one going live? He didn't know he was going live. His friends were filming him having this breakdown.
Yeah, on his phone.
How terrible is that?
Yeah, it's messed up. But that's high school, dude.
But no, it's not just high school. It's like a huge trend. People just filming confrontations and stuff, doing nothing to help.
Yeah. I'm always shocked when I see like Karen videos on Instagram.
Yeah.
Where it's like, how did you have the mental acuity to open your phone and record in this moment while like someone's throwing a latte at a, you know, Victoria's Secret? Like, also, how does everyone always have so much storage space on
and
their
battery
phone?
Life?
Battery life, dude.
Yeah.
We got to get better at this. But yeah, his friend's not cool.
But who is cool? Easton comes and saves the day.
You know what's interesting is we haven't met a lot of Reed's friends.
Yeah.
Or Easton's. In fact, I don't know if we've met any of them.
No. Well, it's not really about us.
That's true. Until episode 6.
That's true. That's a great episode.
We'll get there. Stick with us, folks.
If we're not canceled before then.
Okay, so Ella's all distraught because she sees Reed is really, really hurt.
Yeah.
And then things get worse for Ella because what happens?
She confronts her stalker.
Her stalker's back. This is the biggest badass move Ella has done, I think.
Yeah.
In the whole series.
She's on her way to dinner with Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
She's in an Uber. She sees the stalker. She says, I've had enough. She tells the Uber driver, this like teenage girl, can you just like wait back while I go confront the stalker?
Yeah. Could you imagine being that Uber driver and be like, no.
Yeah, I have another ride waiting for me.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
I don't bring me into your thing.
Ella marches up to this dude and pepper sprays him in the eyes.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is wild. Have you ever been pepper sprayed?
No, but I own pepper spray.
Really? Have you ever used it?
I have never used it on a human.
You used it on a small puppy, didn't you?
Sorry, Rihanna.
That's three. That's the comedy rule of three, folks.
I've used it just to like to make sure it works. Because I used to work late at night downtown at a restaurant, and I'd have to walk to my car, and it was kind of scary. So I was like, I'm going to get a knife. And I was like, what would I ever do with a knife? I would never use a knife.
Hopefully you never have to use pepper spray. These are called deterrents, Nick.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about the mutually assured destruction theory.
Yeah, someone just saw Oppenheimer.
Foreign politics. Okay, so she sprays the shit out of him. She learns where he's coming from.
He's like, hey, I'm just here to give you a letter.
But also, does this guy not know how mail works? Like, why didn't he just give it to her or just go into the place of work where he was, like, stalking her?
This guy is a loyal employee of Ooh. Callum. The letter's from Callum. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy's been driving around Oakland, chasing this girl from bikini barista bars to the train station to now this restaurant to give her a letter. Do you think he's opened it just to like look at what it is?
I don't think he opened it, but I think he did that thing where you hold it up to the light and you try and read it like a little bit.
Yeah.
Like see through the envelope.
Yeah. Is that what you do after you stalk people using your comedy mm-hmm. group's Instagram?
Yeah. Well, everyone knows if you really want to learn the deepest, darkest secrets about people, it's reading their physical snail mail. That's where the good stuff is.
I am a little paranoid about that.
Every time this person is pre-approved for $200 rewards from Chase Bank.
Yeah. Oh my God, this person has a Lassen's opening up down the street from them. Lassen's is a...
Like no a one head. Cares.
So she opens up this letter. This poor driver didn't read it.
Well, now he's not going to be reading anything for a long time because he's got a face full of chemical irritant in his eyeballs.
Which is so funny because the episode ends with her asking him for a ride.
He's like, sure.
Yeah, can I have a ride to the airport? Immediately.
Just, that's how that series ends?
Yeah.
In a fiery crash because Ella forced a man with zero eyesight to drive her to the airport.
So I laughed at that. But I shouldn't have laughed because the reason she asked him for a ride is sad and touching, but very funny. To, like the last person I would want to give me a ride is someone whose
especially
eyes
when
I
there's
just,
an Uber driver.
I know, which right the girl's there. Just been waiting. That's so funny.
Also, it'd be funny if she was like, can you bring me to the airport? And he was like, fuck you, no.
Yeah. You just ruined my eyes.
My corneas are seared to the core.
Yeah.
I have a quick caveat. What kind of name is Callum?
You know, that's a great question.
It sounds like...
I think I remember like early on in season one when we were recording, everyone had to be told how to pronounce it.
Yeah, because it was like Callum.
Yeah, or Calum.
Calum, yeah, Callum. Which sounds like a scientific term, like you would like a plaque that would build up in your arteries.
Yeah, like something you need to get removed from your esophagus.
Yes, like, sir, there is a huge deposit of callum that has gathered on the torsius demonitrius.
Did you study that at university?
I studied that at university.
Wow. Yeah.
So sorry, callum, guys. Maybe.
I can't I can't sing tonight. I got a callum.
Yeah, and when I lift weights, I get big Callums on my hands.
Armin, the guy who plays Callum, what a voice that guy has.
It's silky smooth.
It's so nice.
We're going to get him on.
Yeah, we're going to get him on.
I just volunteered him. He's such a nice guy.
He's really nice.
Yeah, and it's so funny that he's like 2 years older than me, and he like plays my father. Reed, listen
I
to
mean,
me.
Just listening to him read that letter, it's...
silky smooth.
Yeah.
So Elle is on her way back. Val is super depressed.
Yeah, going live.
Yeah, she goes live, and she just rips Elle. She drags Ella's ass.
And Tam.
And name checks her and is like, sorry, girly.
You ghosted me.
You ghosted me. You are dead to me.
I was abandoned by someone I love.
And I think Ella doesn't really know how like much she means to people. And
well, how could she? Her mom took her to Jim's house to drop off old clothes.
You hate Ella's mom.
I do.
Okay, so recap. Everyone's breath stinks like shit. What if instead of pepper spray on the stalker, Ella just breathed in his eyes? And he was like, oh, Chipotle, it's Tabasco.
Yeah, and then Isaac runs out of the restaurant. He does more.
Yeah, it's a green exploded, and he just passes out. And then they tie his lifeless body to the steering wheel and make him drive him to the airport.
And the episode ends with the Uber driver, can I go now?
She just loyally sits there and gives Ella one star. Ryder made me sit for 8 hours.
She maced a man with her own bad breath.
So Ella's heading home. She's going back to Malibu.
Yeah, but she's not doing it for the Royals. She's doing it for Val.
She's doing it for Val and she's doing it for her.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're totally right. You know,
I usually am.
It struck a chord when she said she was abandoned because that's all Ella's ever been or at least felt like abandoned.
But how exciting that, I mean, in one episode, you got to give credit to the writers because they caught us up on what had happened. They gave us sort of like insight to all of our main players, what they've been up to. And they engineer a way for Ella to get back to Malibu and create a love triangle all in one episode.
It's a lot.
That is a lot. And it sets up the season so nicely because it's like, oh, wow, we've got a lot of stuff
to cover.
To cover.
Yeah. It's a fun season. And they did such a great job of getting it out quick.
Oh, yeah, they pumped it.
They pumped it out in like 6 months.
Yeah, like Rihanna with her second baby.
That's true.
Right? She was pregnant immediately. If you're watching, and I know you are, we're big fans. We are. All right, Nick, we're getting toward the end, so you know what that means.
Oh, I sure do.
It is time for the Royal Decree. Hear ye, hear ye. A royal decree. The Royal Decree is a segment we are going to end every episode with where both Nick and I offer our hot take of the week. It could be about anything that's sort of been gnawing at us or bothering us. So Nick, do you want to start us off? What is your Royal Decree this week?
I will start us off. I've been taking issue with the length of movies recently. So I am going to make a Royal Decree. Any movie under the 2-hour mark has an automatic 5 points added to its Rotten Tomatoes score.
Wow.
And then every time it is 10 minutes under 2 hours, it gets an additional 1 point.
Do you have a specific movie in mind that's been bothering you?
I mean, it's just every movie when I'm scrolling through, I'm seeing the time lengths of like 2.5 hours, 3 hours, and I just can't stay up that long.
I liked Oppenheimer. I didn't love it.
Is it because of the length?
It felt like it was two movies that it didn't have to be two movies. The first half felt like it was like a Wikipedia entry that was really high budget. And then the second half felt like a really expensive episode of Law and Order. Now, I love Chris Nolan. I thought it was really impressive. But
yeah, it was
like,
well done.
It was very well done. But it was just like,
I don't know if anything's good enough to be that long.
No.
Or if it is, put an intermission in, like they did with The Godfather Part 2.
Yes. Or pee breaks. Like, there should just be, like, a title card that's like, now go pee.
With just the sound of somebody pissing over a black screen.
To help you. Yeah, I mean, we went to Killers of the Flower Moon this week.
Yeah.
Great movie. Too long. 3.5 hours.
Fantastic movie, but way too long.
Way too long.
Way too long. And might be a hot take. I don't think any comedy movie needs to be longer than 90 minutes.
Don't tell Judd Apatow. And I know he's listening to this because he's a huge fan of the pod.
I won't tell him. I won't tell him because I'm pretty confident that he'll never work with me.
Well, not with that attitude. Judd, we love you.
We love you so much, dude.
This is 40 was way too long. Okay, good decree, Nick.
How about you? What's your royal decree?
Here's my royal decree. I decree that we need a break from Taylor Swift.
Oh, shoot.
I know.
What are you doing?
I know. Here's the thing. I love Taylor Swift. I have so much admiration for her as an artist and a businesswoman. I think she is brilliant. She is just overexposed right now. And I don't blame her. I mean, a little bit. But she has infiltrated every aspect of culture and life in a way that I have never seen before. And it's exhausting. And people are going to start turning against her. And so I think out of love and respect and protection for her...
She does need your protection. She has said that.
She's always been clamoring for it. She needs just to take a vacation. Take a vacation, girly.
Well, is she not allowed to go watch a football game that her boyfriend's in?
It's not her fault. She should absolutely be able to watch a football game. I blame the people who are obsessed with her, but she's created this monster and this machine. Like, I saw online at the Chiefs game, like, these people in amazing seats spent the entire game turned around facing the box that she was in and filming her. And they were missing a great football game.
That's true. And how, once again, do they have the storage and the battery life to film her that entire time?
I think you need a new phone is the big takeaway from this
episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, your birthday's coming up in 10 months. We'll get you one. Okay, that's been Royal Decree. Hear ye, a royal decree. All right, so that's it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening to the very first episode of The Royal Boys. This has been so much fun. We hope you've had a good time.
Special shout out to Rihanna, Judd Apatow, and Taylor Swift. We appreciate you listening.
Yes, and we hope to work with you again in the future, because I'm counting this as working with you. Join us next week. We'll talk about episode 2, season 2, episode 2. Maybe have a special guest.
Maybe.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, on Instagram, send us your fan questions. If you have anything you want us to talk about on the pod, maybe we'll do it.
Thoughts, questions, insults directed towards Chris, anything you want.
I can take it. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.